Hello, and welcome to Into His Marvelous Light, the podcast where we focus on how to grow closer to God through examination of Scripture and application of His Word. I'm your host, Darnice Tolton. Thank you for joining me today on another episode of Into His Marvelous Light. If you haven't done so already, please follow this podcast, set your notifications to on so that you're notified every time an episode is uploaded and you don't miss anything. Share this with family and friends, and I pray it would be a blessing to you all. So we're going to jump right in to today's episode, and it's going to be based around 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And it says, "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." As Christians and being followers and imitators of Christ, we are told to be on alert, to be watchful, to be of sober spirit, the scripture says. But why? Why is it that we would need to be these things? Because there is a roaring lion that prowls around seeking someone to devour. The enemy seeks every day to destroy us, to destroy you, to destroy me. Now, the destruction doesn't have to be the outcome or the end result. We have a hope, and the Bible gives us guidance and direction as to how we can overcome, conquer, and persevere, in which one of those is of being sober spirited. That means we are to be cautious and to keep watch, to be on the alert. And sobriety and watchfulness is a necessity in the Christian walk. We must be sober in our bodies and in our minds, because if we are not careful, we will be the one who will be devoured by the enemy, whom is wild and untamed. Now, the Bible is clear in describing our adversary, the devil, and that he is not just a lion, but he is a roaring lion. And we must know what it is that we are up against. According to the National Zoo, lions stand 3.5 to 4 feet tall and weigh anywhere between 265 to 400 pounds. They have strong, compact bodies, powerful legs, teeth, and jaws, which are used for pulling down and killing prey. They have 30 teeth, in which 4 large pointed teeth are known as the canines, and these are used to hold its prey, to kill it, and rip it to shreds. There are 4 cheek teeth that are used for cutting through the tough skin and tendons, and there are no teeth that sits in a lion's mouth that are suitable for chewing. All of their food is swallowed in chunks. You see, the enemy wants to swallow you whole. He's not in the business to take it easy on you or to show you grace and mercy. That's where Jesus comes in. The enemy's job is to give you hell while on earth, to rip you to shreds, then to swallow you up. His job is to distract you, because if you're distracted, then you're not of sober spirit. And if you're not of sober spirit, you're not being cautious or watchful. A lion is quick on its feet. They're swift, running up to 50 miles an hour. They're crafty, sly, and sneaky. And from behind, they creep up on their prey and attack with all force. You see, the enemy will try attacking you from behind. He'll use subtle tricks and schemes to get you to bite, to fall into temptation, to sow doubt, to deceive, to distort God's word, and to bring confusion. He'll do whatever it takes and use whoever it takes for you to become his prey. He operates in many different ways, such as through television shows, movies, games, social media, music, books, and even people. And there are no limits with him. Lions aren't afraid of large prey. They seek after prey that are anywhere from 2.5 to 4 times their size. They are always hungry and looking to attack. Their appetite is never satisfied. Our adversary, the devil, is after us all. He is after you and he is after me. He will not discriminate in whom he attacks, but he will go after anyone whosoever will cooperate with him, wild and untamed. Now, it is important that we do not fall prey to Satan, but those who do, there are consequences that would follow. Now, Satan has always used deception to catch his prey. He is not one who is full of new tricks. And we see this in the story of Adam and Eve. And for context, God, he created Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into him, where he became a living soul. And we see the story continue in Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 15, which says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die.'" So after Adam was created and placed in the garden, God gave him a commandment, something he was charged to do, something he was to accomplish. See, God never creates something that doesn't serve some sort of purpose, that doesn't bring any value. He doesn't create something and not have a plan set out. So in this case, Adam, he was commanded to cultivate and keep the garden. Now in the garden, the Lord caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, which included the tree of life as well as the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But God acknowledged that it was not good for man to be alone. Adam needed a helper, so he created a woman, whom is later known as Eve. So now in the garden, we have Adam and Eve, and not long after, the serpent appears to Eve. But before he speaks to her, the Bible informs us in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, that the serpent was crafty. He had a way about him. He was more crafty than any beast of the field that God had made. Crafty in Hebrew translates to subtle, shrewd, sensible, or prudent. So this gives us a sense and level of understanding of some of the characteristics in which the enemy possesses. Now, the latter half of verse 1 is where the serpent speaks to Eve, and he said, "Indeed, has God said, 'You shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" And the NLT translation says, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from the trees in the garden?" The first word spoken out of Satan's mouth was a question. He wants you to question the word of God. He wants you to doubt his word. He wants to bring confusion. He wants to bring you to a place where you don't trust the word of God. Not only were his first words in the form of a question, but it was also about God. God was the subject matter. This was the very first conversation between the devil and a human, and it was about God. Just as the enemy posed a question to Eve, he will also pose questions to you. He will say, "Did God really say you have to live righteously? Did he really say that you have to go to church? Did he really say that we must pray and be in communion with him? Did he really say that you're required to sacrifice in your walk? Did he really say that there are requirements for one to be saved so that you can enter the kingdom of God?" That is the famous question from the enemy. Did God really say? And it will be one that he will continue to ask. He will use God's word out of context and distort it in such a way that he brings confusion, uncertainty, hesitancy, and unsureness. Every question that the enemy would pose to you would be in a way where he is lessening, minimizing, and diminishing the authority that is in the word of God. Satan will never ask you a question that brings clarity to the word. Why? Because he is the furthest from the truth. John 8:44 says that he's been a murderer from the beginning, and that he's always hated truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is the father of lies. Satan will always try to draw you away from God. If something is not drawing you closer to God, it's separating you from him. Now, a little further down in scripture of chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, Satan says to Eve, "You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Here, the enemy continues to tempt Eve, and he does so by using words that hold a level of weight, that hold value. He said, "You surely will not die, meaning I'm confirming, I'm assuring you that if you do what I say, there will be no consequence. He is trying to entice her and convince her that his words are true. He then even goes as far as saying that after eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, her eyes will be opened and she would be like God. Satan is now placing man on a pedestal. He's saying that man can become equal to God. This is a lie because scripture tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are not equal to God. There is none like him. There is only one God, and he is the most high. Psalm 113, verses 4 and 5 say, God is higher than anything and anyone, outshining everything you can see in the skies. Who can compare with God, our God, so majestically enthroned? So now we're at a point where Eve has to make a decision, and the enemy has spoken and whispered lies into her ear, but she has now reached a point where she must decide. Will I chase after what looks good and what looks appealing, or will I chase after truth, walk in the will of God, and follow his commandments? And the same is true in our lives. The enemy will whisper things to us that sound good. He will try to entice us and convince us to believe his lies. He would do all these things as an attempt to distract us. But God always gives us free will to make any decision we want, whether it be right or wrong, whether it would lead us closer to him or not. Our decision making is critical and will determine the path that we choose to walk down. It will determine the doors we are looking to be opened. And there are only two paths that we can take in every decision we make. And each decision will either be pleasing to God or not. This is why we always need to be of sober spirit, to be on alert, because the enemy, whom is wild and untamed, is seeking someone to devour. He wants us to play the field, to be wishy-washy, to believe that we can have our cake and eat it too, but there is no lukewarm with God. We can't have one foot in and one foot out. We can't say, I will serve God on Sundays, but I will do everything else that my flesh desires for the remainder of the week. God tells us how he feels about those who are lukewarm. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 say, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. So although lukewarm is something that man is capable of walking in, it's not something that God desires for us to do. Now think about coffee. You either like your coffee hot or you like it cold. When you're in the drive-thru of Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks and they ask you, how would you like your coffee? So you tell them you like it iced. So you pull up to the next window and they hand you your drink and you taste it and you just find out that it's lukewarm and you'll spit it out of your mouth. Why? Because it's not what you ordered. It's not what you asked of them. And this is exactly what God will do to us. He spits us out, those who are lukewarm, who are not completely surrendered and submitted to his word and his will in their lives. Those who are picking and choosing when they want to follow him, when it's convenient for them. We serve a jealous God, and he does not want to share us with the world. Now, back in the story in Genesis 3, verse 6, we see Eve's response. And she saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. So she took from its fruit and ate it. She then also gave to her husband and he ate it. See, Eve didn't seem to think or question the enemy. Her actions were based off of what she could see. She no longer found authority and truth in the word of God. She ate what was a delight to her eyes, and she believed that it would make her wise. Eve became selfish instead of selfless. She allowed her fleshly desires and wants to supersede God's word. She not only fell into temptation, but she was also able to drag down Adam with her. And the enemy used deception to get her to fall. See, before the serpent even appeared to Eve, God already provided everything that they needed, as well as specific instruction. God did not leave Adam and Eve in the middle of a garden questioning what they could and couldn't have. It was clear to not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Satan, he got Eve to see all of the things that she could not have versus the things that she did have. And the enemy always wants us to look and dwell on the things that we're lacking and may not have access to versus the things that God has already blessed us with and has placed in front of us. I want to encourage you all not to fall into the tricks of the enemy. He has no good plan for you. There is nothing good he wants to do in your life. Instead, walk in the Lord abundantly and trust in his word. John 10:10 says that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Don't allow the enemy to steal your thoughts, to steal your confidence in the word of God. Don't give him the opportunity to kill your faith, to kill your identity in Christ and all that you can be in him. Instead, stand firm in the Lord and don't allow him to destroy you, to break you down, to tear you apart, to rip you to shreds, or to swallow you whole. He is wild and untamed. Now, as this episode would begin to come to a close, Scripture shows us that there are consequences to disobedience and sin. And there are consequences when we are not of sober spirit. And we find these consequences in Scripture in Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 16. And consequence was given to woman. And God said that he will greatly multiply her pain in childbirth. In pain she will bring forth children, yet her desire will be for her husband, and he will rule over you. Now the man's consequence begins in verse 17, and it says, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, you have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you, and toil you will eat it all of the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So what is it? You're probably thinking, well, what does this have to do with me? Well, it all comes down to disobedience. They allowed other things to rule over them, to control them, rather than obeying and following the word of God. The man, he allowed the voice of his wife to overpower the voice of God. And the woman did not allow the man to lead her. Instead, she did whatever she desired. We have to be careful not to allow the voice of others to trump God's word. It must be the voice of God that we seek for time and time again. Psalms 118:8 says that it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. God, we know he will never fail us. In addition, Adam and Eve were also kicked out of the Garden of Eden as a form of consequence. They were now separated from the place in which God had placed them. Don't allow your choices to separate you from God. He wants you to step out of darkness, out of the camp of the enemy, out of shame, out of feeling defeated. Instead, walk into his marvelous light. God has great things in store for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. We serve a good God that has good plans, a God that wants to give us a hope and a future. What will you do? The decision is up to you. Will you follow God and keep his commandments and follow his plan of salvation? Or will you choose to bow down to Satan and do the things that are pleasing in your sight? There are consequences to sin. Stand firm, be steadfast, be unmovable. Do not be shaken, but prevail and fight against every attack of the enemy. And we're going to close out in prayer. Lord, I thank you. God, I thank you for each person who is listening. God, I pray that you would help us. Help us to be of sober spirit, God, that we are watchful and always on alert. We understand, God, that our adversary, the devil, he is prowling around looking for someone to devour. God, help us to keep our eyes on you, God. Help us to not chase after the things that may look good, God, or are pleasing to our flesh. God, let us choose to walk in you each and every day, God, that we would be obedient to your word. I pray, God, that we would not be lukewarm, but instead, God, let us be on fire for you, Lord. I thank you, God, for your word and the scriptural examples that you give us, God, to help guide us in our daily lives. God, thank you for the power and authority that is in your word. Let it lead and guide us always, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I thank you all as always. Thank you for tuning in. Stay tuned for the next episode. God bless.